Blog Talk Radio.
I hear a lot of talk about old-time great fighters. I hear people say that Joe Louis, Jack Dempsey, Jack Johnson, Jim Jeffries, and all of them would have annihilated the likes of myself, Muhammad Ali. After watching these films, watching their opponents, watching their styles, watching how they fought, watching the footwork and their speed, it may come as a shock to you, but I say that I would have beat every heavyweight that ever lived before me.
Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier.
And I'm knocking out all bums. And if you get too small, I'll knock you out.
The cameraman, everybody follows me. I'm so great.
That he will go in 8 to prove that I am great. And if he want to go to heaven, I'll get him in 7. He'll be in the worst of 6 if I cut it to 6. And if he keeps talking jive, I'll cut it to 5.
Hey, I'm the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm
pretty.
You're not that
pretty. I'm a bad man.
You know what time it is. It's time for the majority decision. See you live from the great state of Texas right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Greg DeTruth, host of the show with the Black Belt, Mr. Fayaz. Thank everybody for tuning in. Remind you to hit us up on Twitter at MajorityMMA, like us on Facebook, the Majority Decision, and subscribe to the podcast so that way you can get it downloaded right to your listening device every time that a new show drops. We're back from the holidays on a very special night. And just to let everybody know real quick, tonight is going to be an abbreviated night. It's only going to be a 15-minute show because for some reason I couldn't get Blog Talk Radio to give me the entire 30 minutes that we normally get. Hopefully tomorrow we will get our full 30 minutes and then Friday we'll get our full 30 minutes because we are going to do a show tomorrow considering with all of the big things that are going on this week. Of the week, Fayaz, what fight do you think you are most looking forward to?
Man, I got a few that I'm looking forward to, but I really want to see Alvarez and Dos Anjos go at it Thursday night. I can't wait for that one. That one's going to be a great fight. Also, man, you know, Joanna and Claudia, that's going to be a great fight, too, for the strawweight strap. They're going to do that on the Ultimate Fighter finale. You know, I think Claudia edged her the first time around, and the judges just didn't see it that way. So I'm actually interested to see how that fight turns out this time. And Saturday night, Jesus, I mean, there's just so many. There's so many I want to see, but I really want to see Frankie Edgar beat Jose Aldo.
Yeah, for me, that's definitely one of the fights that I'm looking for, is I'm interested to see how Frankie Edgar adjusts to Jose Aldo, changes maybe. I don't necessarily know that he needs to change his game plan, but, you know, just fights him differently than he fought the first time. You know, the first fight, if I remember correctly, was a fairly close fight, but I didn't really think that Edgar just didn't seem like he could win the fight, at least at that point. It could be a completely different fight, though. But, you know, I'm with you for the Dos Anjos and Eddie Alvarez fight. I think of all the fights that are lined up, I'm probably looking most forward to that fight. Even though I'm not going to get to see it because I'm just not going to buy a fight pass.
Well, just do the 7-day trial and cancel it.
You know, I might end up doing that. That's actually...
It's like a 7-day trial or something like that. And if you decide, hey, you know what, I don't want to keep it and I don't want to pay the $10 a month for it, Don't do it. There's actually a lot of stuff on Fight Pass that I would watch. You know, all the EBIs, the Eddie Bravo Invitationals, all that stuff. Those are all things that I would watch, you know, and was watching before, Fight Pass bought them out. So who knows? Who knows what I'll do? But I at least want to see Alvarez and Dos Anjos throw down. I can't believe they made that one a Fight Pass card. But hey, you know, if you got to squeeze it in somewhere for Fight Week, you might as well put it on Fight Pass, right?
Yeah, definitely. One interesting note that I read over, or I heard, actually I heard Frank Mir. He was on the MMA Junkie podcast show or whatever. Anyway, they had a clip of it on their website, and so I had to check it out. And one of the things, of course, for those who don't know, which most people probably do, Frank Mir's got a 2-year suspension from fighting for failing a drug test. But one of the things that Frank Mir said that I thought was interesting was that he said, he hopes that the UFC goes ahead and cuts him so that he can pursue fights somewhere else and doesn't have to wait the entire time of the suspension to fight. I'm assuming he's meaning he's going to fight overseas. I mean, that's the only option, right?
I have no idea. I don't know. I didn't even realize that he failed the drug test. When did that come about?
After his last fight. He failed.
The fight where he got planted by Mark Hunt?
Yes, the one where there's no way you could convince me that he was on any kind of PED because he looked like garbage.
Right. He must have tested positive for something related to an injury then. I don't see Frank Mir going, hey, I'm going to take a bunch of PEDs and fight Mark Hunt. I just don't see it happening. But I could be wrong, man. Who knows, right?
Yeah, it was his post. Yeah, so it was his post-fight test that he failed. Basically, in an interview, he said that, of course, they gave him the option to appeal or take the samples and have them retested by an independent laboratory or whatever that he pays for. But he just straight up said that, look, I'm not going to front the bill. I'm not going to pay for the lawyers. I'll just sit this thing out and maintain my innocence and hope that the UFC cuts me so I can fight somewhere else and get paid. He didn't say it in those words. That's basically what he said.
But if he gets suspended, he's not going to be able to fight anywhere else. You know what I mean? It's not like he can go, hey, well, if the UFC cuts me, I'll go fight at Bellator. He can't. Because once you're suspended by the commission, you can't. You can't just go sign on with another organization just because you didn't get cut while you were with them. That doesn't work. Unless he leaves the country and goes, you're right, and goes and fights in Japan or something like that, maybe. But I don't know. I don't know if he's mad. I don't know. That's weird, man. That's strange. A 2-year suspension?
Yeah, 2 years.
Why does he get 2 and everybody else gets like 6 months or 1 year?
And that's good. That's a good question. And they actually hit on that. And what he said was that a lot of the guys that get hit, they get reduced sentences, and the reason that they get reduced sentences is because they stand before the judge, jury, and executioner, also known as the commission, and admit their guilt. And if they admit their guilt, then the commission seems to be more lenient as opposed to Mir or, other guys in the past who would sit there in front of everybody and just say, hey, no, I didn't do it, and your testing is wrong or it's incorrect or whatever. And he said, I'm not going to sit there in front of them and tell them that I took the drug when I know I didn't.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then, if he feels that strong.
It's kind of a pride thing for him.
Yeah, if he feels that, why do it, right? And if it's a deal to where he gets caught, who was it? It was Wanderlei Silva, right? I mean, his drug test, remember, they came back later and found out that he never even tested positive. You never know. Hey, we'll test again, whatever it is. And you know, maybe this is Frank Mir's way of saying, hey, look, I'll just, you know, it's 2 years. I mean, the guy's going to be 38 2 years, right? What's he got left? You know?
Yeah.
It's taking him longer to heal. He trains like an animal. He's a two-time world champ. I mean, you know, what's that guy got left to prove? Does he need to fight?
Yeah, and you know, we talked about this, I think, during after his last fight, and one of the things that I've wondered about Frank Mir is, why hasn't the UFC given him a job to sit in the booth and call fights?
Yeah.
I always thought he was
he's really
he did
good.
An excellent job in the WEC back in the day.
Yeah, the guy can dissect a fight in a I mean, it's ridiculous, man. I mean, he's real good at it. He's speech and telling. It's what he does. The guy's methodical when he fights, and he's methodical when he talks about fights. I don't understand. Maybe he's not ready to retire. I don't know what it is. And, you know, maybe he's mad because, you know, he feels like this test is kind of unfounded in his eyes. So hopefully Mir works it out.
George St. Pierre kind of made a headline. He was on an interview, and they were asking him about money and guys that complain about their money and how much they get paid. And basically what he said was, you know, it's their fault for accepting the lower amount of money. And they knew what, you know, and he kind of said basically they knew what they get into when they signed it. But another thing that he said that was interesting, which is something that I've been saying for a while now, is that, you know, unless all the fighters somehow get on the same page and say, okay, nobody should accept less than $20,000 to fight, right? Just whatever number. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Then it's always going to – there's always going to be guys out there that are going to say – that are going to get a phone call and say, I'll fight for $10,000. UFC fight, get my foot in the door. I'll fight for $10,000 to show. I'll fight for $8,000 to show. And as long as there's guys out there like that, the UFC is going to pay them. So, you know, in terms of everybody
on
the same page and demanding the same amount of money, that's just not ever going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the really young guys, the 19, 20, 21-year-olds. God, man, if I'm 21 and you're telling me, hey, man, I'll pay you 10 and 10, yeah, I'll show up and fight. I'm 20 years old. You're gonna throw me $10,000, right? To go in and punch somebody in the face, and on top of that, if I knock them out, I get a bonus, right? Plus, I get win money. What else am I gonna do with that money, right? To a 21-year-old kid, that's awesome. You know, he's not gonna complain about that, but I think George makes a point though.
But I would presume that most 21-year-olds, 20-year-old guys that are young in the fight game, you know, they're not spending tons of money on training.
Yeah.
They're not spending tons of money on coaches. So they don't have the expenses of a higher level or a higher tier guy.
Right. Right. You know, these guys are stacking their chips. You know, God, if they make, you know, 20, 25 grand, they get a bonus. They get the super bonus or whatever it is. You know, a lot of those guys are like, well, man, God, I don't even have to fight for another 4 or 5 months. I'm feeling pretty good right now, right? You know, by the time they get paid, you know, giving their coaches a cut and whatever it is, they don't really have any expenses. You know, your older guys, some of them guys may not either, but some of those guys do, so.
that's going to do it for this short edition of the Majority Decision. We'll be right back here tomorrow night, hopefully.